Well, as I mentioned in the announcement, it's been a bit challenging few weeks prior to, during, and right after the feast. Hopefully, in spite of these challenges, everyone had a spiritual uplifting and renewing Feast of Tabernacles this year, no matter where you were or where you were at. To begin today, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. This is a well-known passage of Scripture that we're going to read, but one which has a tremendous amount of meaning and impact for us as Christians, especially at this time of year, just coming off of the fall holy days. We just returned from a renewing of our understanding of the millennial period of time and the period of time that follows that and all that it signifies, all that it means for us and all of mankind. Like Joe, I had a thought process going on while we were at the feast in Jamaica this year. And if I had to define the theme of the messages throughout Jamaica this year, it would have to be one of what we're doing now with our lives and preparing for what we're going to be doing in the future. It just seemed like that was repeated and repeated and repeated. And it seems like God was trying to get a message across to all of us that, yes, this is a great time coming, both the millennial period and the second resurrection, which is a huge responsibility for all of mankind and all of us. Well, here in Philippians 1, Paul reminds us of how this life that we live today is going to have a direct impact and a direct bearing on how we are performing and how we're going to be able to help and serve God and Jesus Christ in the future. It's something we all need to hear, and that's why Paul addresses it the way he does here. He doesn't start another epistle the way he starts it here in Philippians 1 and verse 1. Let's read that. Paul and Timothy, travel partners, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all of the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. An interesting introduction, because nowhere else does Paul include everybody. He's saying this message that I'm portraying here, this message that I'm delivering to you here, everybody needs to hear and everybody needs to understand. Now verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul was constantly praying for the brethren. He really appreciated their efforts and all they did to try to help him personally, but also he saw that they were trying to help each other. There was an outreach program that each and every one of them adopted and maintained throughout their lives. This really impressed Paul. This made him feel like he had done a job that was worthwhile and it was paying off dividends. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was reminding them of this incredible journey that they were on, that it was initiated not by them, it was initiated by God himself. And this journey that every one of us has been called to came about similar fashion, maybe different ways, different timing, different circumstances, but it was with God trying to get your attention. However he did that, we've all got our stories. Once he got our attention, then it was our choice to decide, do I want to follow this way of life? Do I want to serve God? If so, I need to repent. So we repented. We go to God. We ask for forgiveness of our sins. Repent of our sins. We accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we got baptized. As a result of being baptized, we buried an old person, and a new person came up out of the water. We had hands laid on us, and God gave us his Spirit. That was the beginning of a journey. The beginning of a journey that God said he's never going to abandon. God is the one that got it started, and he's going to do his part to make sure it is sustained all the way through to the end, no matter what we do. Because as we're going to see throughout the sermon, no matter what we do, it can't be so bad that we can't get on our knees, go before God, and repent. Turn around. God's always willing with open arms to accept us back and bring us back into the fold. Then Paul talks about all of their service to him and his efforts and all the other churches. Drop down to verse 27. He reminds them here of the huge responsibility that was on their shoulders as well as our shoulders as it applies to Jesus Christ in our lives. Verse 27 of Philippians 1. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ is the way he starts. Paul referred to our behavior. Our behavior in life is something we should be evaluating. Is it worthy? Is the way I'm living my life worthy of what it was that I was given? Am I showing appreciation for what God did for me and for what Jesus Christ did for me? In other words, act as though we have a tremendous amount of respect for the calling that we have been given. It would be a tragedy if we just took it for granted. And I know, having been in the church off and on for 50-some, 60 years, it can happen. I mean, your enthusiasm wanes, your commitment wanes, the challenges of life step in and interfere with your life. You get confused sometimes, you get befuddled sometimes, you make bad choices at other times. Your life goes down in a tailspin, things just start going south. And it gets so bad, you may just want to forget it and give up. You may get depressed like young Jordan and just think, why me? Why does all this stuff have to happen to me? And we get disoriented, and God says, you know, I understand that. And I know that you've got those kind of issues in your life. You're a human being. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have issues. You're going to have challenges. But he goes on here. He says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, things that are going on in your life, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In other words, Paul was saying, make me proud. Make me proud of the way you are living your lives, no matter whether I'm there or not. I love hearing the great stories. I love having people go through Philippi and come and tell me what wonderful human beings you are. It's one of the greatest things that an elder or minister in the church of God can ever have happen to them. Have people say good things about people that you work with. Because it makes you, it's like being a proud parent. You see them doing what they're being taught to do. And you see them growing. And you see people benefiting as a result of their behavior. And that's really what it's all about. Let's see a little bit more about what he's really after with them in this discussion. Let's continue on in chapter 2 and verse 1. There's actually no chapter break when Paul wrote this. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ... And these are questions that we should ask ourselves. If there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if we've ever had that come in our life, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection or mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. By now, I'm sure we're starting to get the point of what Paul was after. He is mentioned now three times about being one-minded or like-minded. It's about something that has to do with our minds. It's the trigger point of everything that happens in our lives. Everything you do is triggered by your mind. Let's continue, verse 3. He said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. He continues to focus on the mind and what it is and what it does. Let's go on to verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Again, like we've heard at the feast, and what we are focusing on is the power of our minds. What are our minds focused on? As we heard in the sermon, you know, you can place your treasures in heaven, you can place your treasures on earth. Where your mind is where your treasures are. That's where your thinking's going. That's where your effort and your energy's going. It's a choice that we make probably hourly, if not more quickly than that. And we do have the choice to decide how we're going to allow our minds to work our bodies. Then he hits the nail on the head here in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, that mind. Paul's telling us the mind that we have has got to become the mind of Jesus Christ. We've got to start thinking the way he thought. Because when we think the way Jesus Christ thought, we will act the way Jesus Christ acted, more times than not. Drop down to verse 12. Paul knew that without the mind of Christ, we were not going to get along with each other. We're not going to maintain a spirit of commitment, and we will not grow as the children of God. The mind is a giving mind, a loving mind, a mind that cares for everybody else. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Again, Paul showing us God's the one that got the ball rolling. God chose you for a reason. If there's 60 people in here, there's 60 different reasons. I don't know what the reason is that he called you. You may not even know what the reason is that he called you, but he called you for a reason. You've got something to contribute. Sometimes I wonder, you know, what it is, in my own life especially. But I know that there's something there. God said there is. And no matter how we feel, no matter what our approach is, no matter even what our attitude is about ourselves and our own lives, it doesn't matter, because God's still focused on that thing that he called you for. And he says he's not going to quit and he's not going to give up on us. But he wants us to be able to use what he has given us, which is our minds, a new mind he gave us. We'll see that in just a little bit. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. As I hope we're beginning to see here, we need a change of mind, which happens to be my title for today, a change of mind. You've heard me say before, we need to change the way we think. That's been said many times by Paul and others. If we change the way we think, our lives will change. Here in Romans 12, we'll see Paul once again addressing this concept of our minds and what needs to be done with them. He's working on showing us how we can have this mind of Jesus Christ in us. And again, as we heard at the feast, this is an ongoing effort. It's all year long. And hopefully we had a good dose of it at the feast this year to get us pumped up a little bit more than normal, so we come back on a little bit of a spiritual high that we can fall back on and utilize. Let's begin in Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. How many times have we said, don't just read a passage of Scripture and say, okay, I think I know what that means. I mean, what did Paul say here? How does he write this? I beseech you therefore, I'm begging you, brethren. I'm begging you by the mercies of God. You need to really pay attention to this. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is what God expects from us. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I would love to know what God's will is for me specifically. I think I know at times, but there's other times I just don't have a clue. Depending on where I'm at, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, doesn't matter. But God says that we can renew our minds in a way that we can actually come to know what that perfect will of God is. See, if we know what the will of God is in our specific lives, wouldn't it be much easier to keep putting one foot in front of the other? Because we know that's what God's after. He's after that specific thing. I'm not quite there yet, but God knows I'm going to get there because that's what he called me for. Powerful, powerful thing when we start realizing it. Paul's pointing out that the ability to stay away from the negative things and the traumatic influences of the world in which we live is dependent upon renewing our minds regularly. How is that done? How do we go about renewing our minds? Total renewing and encouragement to keep pushing forward. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. The answer is actually so simple it's scary. Colossians chapter 3. This total renewing and encouragement to keep pushing forward is something that allows us to be transformed. And I don't know if we think about that much after our baptism. At baptism, that's just the beginning. That's where the transformation starts. God's creating a whole new creature. And it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over long periods of time, going through different challenges in life, seeing what our perspective on things is, and seeing where we're going to go for the resources of help and assistance through any given aspect of our lives. Are we going to rely on our own well-being and our own strength and our own riches? Or are we going to rely on God and everything that He has available for us? It's a constant challenge of life for all of us. And that's what this renewing process is all about. Here in Colossians 3, Paul will show us one of the two places that we can learn how to renew our minds. New minds that we have been given at the opportunity to grow into becoming more Christ-like every day of our lives. Let's begin in Colossians 3 and verse 9. This is really interesting terminology, and he says it twice that we're going to see. Do not lie to one another. Now you might stop and ask yourself, why would Paul say that? Because we do. We misrepresent to each other. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Sometimes because we want to make us look better than we might look otherwise. Sometimes it's because we want to make somebody else look worse than us. But Paul says this, do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, you're supposed to have buried that kind of behavior at baptism. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, Paul's saying, once you decided that I'm going to follow this way of life, you agreed to bury you. With all of those pulls, all those desires, all of that negative, nasty activity that was our past. And we all agreed when we came up out of the water, we're going to follow God's way of life, no matter what. But the no matter what thing is a kicker. I didn't think you meant that. If I'd have known this, I might not have gone down that path. It's a challenge. And this mind that we were given at baptism is brand new. Because God said, I want you to renew it. Make it new again. Every chance you have, every opportunity you have. Paul then teaches us how to allow the mind of Christ to reside in us. By renewing our minds with Christ-like acts, actions. And again, this was, in my opinion, the crux of the theme of Jamaica this year. The way we live our lives now has every bit to do with what's going to happen with us down the road. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, I'm going to make the same assumption Paul made. I'm assuming everybody in this room falls in that category. Therefore, as the elect of God and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. It's not an option. But they were really nasty to me. I don't see that caveat anywhere in the Bible. They really hurt me. There's no exceptions. They never repented. Anybody know where that is? As an exception? I know you've heard this before. I've heard it 100 times myself. Are we living like this? I don't think so. We are at times. Sometimes we just glow the way we live our lives. That we're magnificent. God loves it. Jesus Christ loves it. People that know you probably love it. But there's other times that we don't. It's too hard. And why is it too hard? Because our minds aren't tuned into it. We're not thinking like this. But he goes on in verse 14, he says, but above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Look at everything we've got going on in our lives, the way our lives are going, the way we're interacting with each other, the way we're interacting with God and Jesus Christ, and be thankful for what we've been given. We are all part of the same team, and renewing our minds is a huge part of this way of life. Turn now over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Mike, could you turn those fans off, please? Here in Ephesians 4, Paul will once again show us how our minds became new in the first place. It all started with our calling, as I mentioned before, the realization of what Christ had done for us in his life and in his death, our coming out of this way of life that we're living in and coming into God's way of life and being forgiven of our sins through repentance and baptism. This is a whole process that we went through. But it's a continuing process that we've got to keep going every single day of our lives. I don't know about you, but I have found if I miss one day of any of these aspects that I'm talking about here, one day of doing godly, Christ-like actions, if I miss one day of praying, if I miss one day of Bible study, it's a real slippery slope. I don't know if it's the same thing with you or not. And I've got to catch myself. I've got to say, you know what? You haven't prayed in 2 days. Take the time and do it. You haven't studied the Bible in 3 days, 4 days, a week, 2 weeks. If we're going to stay connected with God and we're going to have the mind of Jesus Christ in us, we've got to just bury ourselves in it, in every aspect of our being. And we're going to see it all stems in the way we act on an ongoing daily basis. Let's begin here in Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. This is what life is like without God's Spirit, or somebody who's not utilizing God's Spirit. Futility of mind sets in. Having gone to Jamaica this year for the feast, which is a third world country, sure, they have a couple of really nice cities and they got some really nice hotels. You get out of there, you are in third world. And it is absolutely despicable to see the way some of these people have to live. It tears my heart out when I see it. Here we were taking a tour on a tour bus, going to go ziplining, having fun at the feast, spending money to go have fun up in the jungles of Jamaica. We happened to have to drive through this one little town, and I'm talking about this is a stinkhole town. We saw two guys on the corner of the street fighting at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning for a chair so they could sit on the street and watch the traffic go by. Before I went to Jamaica, I found in a magazine this guy who likes to travel, and he said, these are my 7 favorite things to do in Jamaica. So I tore the page. I thought, this is a really cool thing, because I don't know about all these things. One of the most attractive tourist spots in Montego Bay, which is the nicest area of all of Jamaica, is a house that is believed to have a ghost living in it. The ghost of a woman who, through voodoo and witchcraft, killed her husband and all of her male servants. She became a legend. It happens to be on the same grounds where the hotel was where we had the feast. This is the futility of mind. This is all these people know. That's their world. That means everything to them. An invitation to the evil spirit world is where it's all at. And Satan loves taking advantage of that stuff. I mean, I couldn't even talk about what Ken and Kerry went through down in South Africa. That to me was like one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard in my life. It's just the abased mind that doesn't have God's Spirit, and it goes off on tangents that are weird, really weird. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. They don't know any better because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And that's what you find when you go to some of these third world countries. There's not an ounce of God's Spirit floating around over there. And these people behave and live like animals. Actually, some animals live better than some of these people do. And the way they treat each other. But then he says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. He allowed us to have a new mind through his Holy Spirit. And that new mind allows us to be able to do things that are greater, more fantastic, more encouraging, more inspiring, more helpful than any other approach. Verse 22, that you put off this former conduct, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul shows us here that we are a new people when we came up out of that watery grave at baptism. So new that God says, I want you to keep renewing it. I want you to keep it fresh. And it all starts with the mind. And you know where your mind is by the way we live and behave. Our minds were transformed in the way that God could give us a cleansing and a nurturing through his Holy Spirit. He then goes on admonishing us on how to renew our minds on a daily basis with our actions. Our renewing, as I said earlier, also comes from Bible study. It comes from prayer. It's keeping ourselves involved with God and his way of life. Verse 25, therefore putting away lying, he mentions that again, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Paul knew it is essentially impossible to never get angry. But getting angry and how we handle it is what is concerned him. Because we can get so angry, we don't want to let go. We want retribution. We want to see the other person hurt. We want to see them squirm. We want to see them cry, maybe. And this can go on for such a long period of time that the term that Jesus Christ termed the root of bitterness can set in. And we can become ugly, nasty human beings in our minds. And that can happen. It can happen if we don't keep our minds being renewed. And he goes on again in verse 28, he said, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then he lists, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. All of this shows how to renew our minds. And let the new man or the new woman start to develop, start to blossom, and grow within us as God and Jesus Christ are expecting us to do. Let's go over to Titus now. Right after Timothy, we don't go there very often, small little book, Titus 3. Here in Titus 3, we'll see Paul explaining that we can daily be renewed in God's Spirit and the forgiveness of our sins through daily repentance. Subsequent to the Feast of Tabernacles, we now have the longest stretch of time between holy days. It's about 6 months. 6 months of time without another holy day to look forward to. It's also the time when it's darkest and longest, especially with this crazy daylight saving time, stupid thing that we do. Darkness is just, it has a tendency to start creating more depression. It's a time of more darkness in the winter months, which also emphasizes the need to stay closer to God and closer to each other instead of just becoming reclusive, which sometimes is a tendency when it's dark so long. It gets dark at 5 o'clock at night, it's dark till 7 o'clock in the morning. Titus 3 and verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. God started all this with calling us. The regeneration and renewing of with his Holy Spirit is something that each and every one of us have been given. And we can get ourselves back to that state. I don't know what the minister said when you were baptized and you came up out of that water. But I've tried to remember to tell everybody, right now, as you come up out of this water, after baptism, you are as pure and as clean as you were the day you were born. There's not a sin on your slate. God has forgiven everything. You're starting fresh. And God said you can go back to that every day if you want to and get that renewal going. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Our daily communication with God through prayer and through Bible study allows us to draw closer to him and thereby allowing him to draw closer to us. It's going to be a natural course of events. Do I ever get down on my knees and pray and think it's a worthless prayer? Yes. Do I ever study the Bible and think that was a waste of time? Yes. But you know, I keep forcing myself to do it anyway. God says the Holy Spirit knows what we are wanting to say. Sometimes we don't say it the way it should be said. Sometimes we need to have it said in a different way. I understand that. I think I believe that. That's why I keep going back. Is it perfect? No. Sometimes I get up and I think God heard me today. Sometimes I do Bible study and I think, wow, I never understood that before. Not all the time. But for those unique moments, it's worth it to me to keep going back to the well, so to speak. And I think all of us can benefit from that. We are the only ones that can stop this renewing process. God's not going to stop it. Pick it up in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. God says, I know what you're going through physically. It's okay. I know you're still making mistakes. I know you may be even hurting. Hang in there. Just keep going back and renewing your mind, getting your mind focused on the things that you need to focus on. Focus on somebody else. If you're hurting, try to focus on somebody else and try to help them through something. It's got a healing effect to our minds and our bodies. And God's telling us, Paul's telling us multiple times here, if we just reach out, if we just do those things that Christ would have done, it has an impact on our minds. And it is part of the renewing process. I read a book several years ago. It's called Joshua, and it's got a subtitle to it. It's a small little paperback. It's probably only about 200 pages. The whole concept of the book is that Joshua in this story is a person living in a regular life style now, but it was written many years ago. And this guy is supposedly an impersonation of Jesus Christ. So through watching and reading about the life of this Joshua, you see how Christ would have reacted to certain things in life. I force myself to read it like every other year, just to remind me on a day-to-day basis, on a person-to-person basis, how it might have been if Jesus Christ were walking around on the earth today with us, and how he would act and how he would react to certain circumstances and certain challenges of life. And it's reassuring to know that we don't always get it right, but Jesus Christ is always there making it right, no matter what happens in the interim. It says, therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So we get ready to close. Let's go to Philippians 4, back to the book of Philippians. We'll let Paul put a capstone on this subject of renewing our minds to become more of Christ's mind in us. This well-rehearsed scripture in Philippians 4 is so simple, yet it's so hard, but it really works. Something worth reminding ourselves of regularly, even throughout the day sometimes as we go through the day. Let's begin here in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Fill our minds with these wonderful things that can only bring good to our lives and the lives of others around us. You know, as many of you probably were impacted on October 1st when we woke up and saw the shooting in Las Vegas, and then the subsequent fires just burning up homes and killing people and destroying lives in California. And you saw all this horror, and you saw all the destruction, you saw all the depression, you saw all the agony that people were going through. There's also stories of unbelievable giving, unbelievable encouragement. People stepping in from nowhere just to help out. 10,000 firefighters out there fighting fires, crying, tears coming down their cheeks as they're helping people get out of their property. There's many, many stories of just behavior that is just over the top. Wonderful human kindness. Look at those things when we see stuff like this. Be encouraged by the fact, you know what? There is some humanity left in humans. And sometimes all they need is an opportunity. Does that mean they're right with Christ and God and everything? No, but that's immaterial. Because this physical life, they're doing the best they can with what they've got, many people. And many of them put us to shame, to be honest with all of us. Paul said, think about stuff like that. Concentrate on things like this. Get yourself encouraged by this. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I'm in to be content. Paul didn't really have the need at times, but when the opportunity presented itself, these people were ready. They jumped right in. The instant they heard that there was a need, they were there. Just like many of you have done many, many times. And I'm hoping and praying that it'll continue to happen in all of our lives. And Paul was really pleased about this because he saw this willingness of heart to step in and help other human beings. Was it because Paul was happy that they were helping him? Yeah, but you know what? He was more happy with the fact that it was showing something about their behavior. They were renewing their minds by reaching out to other people, caring for others. It was good for them. And he knew that was building that bond between them and Jesus Christ and them and God. I know how to be abased, he says in verse 12, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Their caring for him was a good thing for them as well as Paul, because it indicated they were caring not just for Paul, but each other. Paul was like a proud father talking to them here. Now you Philippians, in verse 15, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. That's not the point. The point is I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. When I see you behaving like this, I'm like a proud daddy. Because I see you renewing your mind on a day-to-day basis by the way you're caring for one another. That's what he was after. Indeed, Verse 18, I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. It was their behavior that was so encouraging to Paul. Their willingness to serve was a form of them renewing their minds, becoming more Christ-like every day of their life. And that thrilled Paul. That's what it's all about. Renewing our mind, which comes through prayer. Yes, and Bible study. Yes, but it also comes through living our lives in a loving, caring, and giving way. One last scripture, 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We just celebrated the Fall Holy Days. These signified the return of Jesus Christ. They signified the transformation of the saints to rule in the millennium for 1,000 years. They signified the binding of Satan for a period of time and then for eternity. They signified being able to become at one with our God in Jesus Christ. And they signified the regeneration of the entire earth. And they signified the resurrection of all humanity. And finally, God coming down to the new earth to set up his throne. Let's remember, like we heard at the feast, to be there and take part in it. All of this, we must renew our minds daily and become more like our brother, Jesus Christ, and our soon coming King. One last verse here in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And that is a promise, because we have let this mind, the mind of Jesus Christ, live in us by renewing it. Let's all have a change of mind this coming year between now and the Passover. Have a great Sabbath.